Your Bibles, please, for our second reading, to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. First Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech, the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar. And Shemaiah, the son of Nethaneel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes and Zadok the priest and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites. One principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Now the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, the second to Jedaiah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hakoz, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jakim, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshebeab, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Immer, the 17th to Hazir, the 18th to Afsis, the 19th to Pethahiah, the 20th to Jehezekel, the 1 and 20th to Jakin, the 2 and 20th to Gamul, the 3 and 20th to Deliah, the 4 and 20th to Maaziah. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord, according to their manner, under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. And the rest of the sons of Levi were these, of the sons of Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jedaiah, concerning Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Izhiah, of the Izharites, Shelemot, of the sons of Shelemoth, Jahat, and the sons of Hebron, Jeriah the first, Amariah the second, Jahaziel the third, Jekamiam the fourth, of the sons of Uziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shamir. The brother of Micah was Izhiah, of the sons of Izhiah, Zechariah. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi, the sons of Jaaziah, Beno. The sons of Merari, by Jaaziah, Beno and Shoham, and Zakur and Ibri. Of Mahli came Eleazar, who had no sons. Concerning Kish, the son of Kish was Jerahmeel. The sons also of Mushi, Mahli and Eder and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites after the house of their fathers. These likewise cast lots over against their brethren, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of David, the king, and Zadok and Ahimelech, and the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, even the principal fathers, over against their younger brethren. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, a lot of names and stuff going on, and it's hard to understand exactly what's going on. And so let me give you the benefit of a little bit of detailed study here, just for a few moments. First of all, we have the four sons of Aaron, two of them died before the Lord. Do you find it strange that even at this late date, remember this is post-exilic writing, upon the return to the land, when they're setting up the temple worship once again, under the hand of Ezra, the prophet scribe, we have then this setting up of the priesthood once again, don't we? And in the setting up of the priesthood, what is one of the first things mentioned? That Nadab and Abihu died before their father. That is a reminder as to why they died and how they died. What was the reason for their death? Because they offered strange fire before the Lord. They went outside of the due order, like Uzzah when they were carrying the ark of God upon an ox cart and he reached out to touch it, going outside of the due order in the ordinances of worship brings, in some cases, death in Scripture. This is to show how seriously God takes his appointed worship. That's why our fathers, our reforming fathers, were so very strong on the way that we worship. In fact, if you read in Calvin's The Necessity of Reforming the Church, how many of you have read that book? If you have, wonderful for you. Good for you. The most important thing that Calvin says that the Scriptures place before the people of God is not how they evangelize. It is how they worship. I think that is a proper distillation of Scripture. And so here, setting up the restored worship of God in the restored temple of God at the restoration coming back from the land of Babylon, we're reminded of Nadab and Abihu right up front here. This is to set the rest of the priesthood on notice. Let us not go outside the due order in what we do. Let us remember Nadab and Abihu. Okay, so then we have the two other sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. Thankfully and providentially, the Lord gave to Aaron four sons. Two of them died before the Lord. The other two continued on in the ministry. And continuing on in the ministry, we have the high points of their descent. Now getting to the days of David, notice we are about 500 years past David, 450 years past David. And to whom does Ezra hearken for the courses of the priests? To David. David set those up as the prophet of the Lord. You see how consistent we're being here in all of these administrations. And how many courses then did David set up in his day? 24. 24 courses of the priests. Now let me tell you exactly how that worked. Each of those families of the priests, they came in to the temple and they ministered for a week, twice in the year. That left 48 weeks covered. You say, well, Pastor, we have 52 weeks in the year. I know, but the Jews did not necessarily. They had their, every 4 years we have an intercalation of one day, right? We give a leap year day. Okay. Well, their intercalation was every 3 years they put a month at it. Okay. They had 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, the days of their month. They had 12 of those months. And then at the end of that 3 years, they put another month in there after the month of Adar at the end of their calendar. So what happened was those priests handled their own intercalation such that they ministered at the same time every year, twice in the year. Now, if you read Ezra chapter 2, verses 37 and following, and I'm not saying that you have to do this, but make it a part of your study when you're studying this. What happens is when the people come back from the land, there are not 24 courses left of the priests. They don't have the 24 courses anymore. There are not enough surviving priests to populate all 24 courses according to their family line. And so what do? Do they say, well, we'll just have less courses here? No. They filled them all back up with other Levites to keep the original order that David established, the same 24 courses. And so we still have 24 courses, and this lasts from the days of Ezra all the way down into the days of the New Testament. You know how we know that? Because Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, was of the eighth course, the course of Abiah. So what do we learn from that? What is the lesson that we can draw out of that passage? That there are going to be times in the administration of the church, in the ordinances of the church, even as I'm going to read for you in a moment, in how men are ordained, that there are going to be times in the history of the church when, providentially, the Lord has drawn His church back to a very small and insufficient amount for everything that she needs to do. Remember, one time in the world, the church was drawn back to 8 people, right? 8 people on the ark, the visible church. So, what do we do in such a case as that? We do what they did when Ezra brought the worship back into Jerusalem. We stick as closely to the proper order as we can, recognizing that we are in an impoverished state, and so we cry out to God that He would fill up what we lack, and yet we don't just stop. We move ahead as close to the proper order as we can. Let me read to you something from the Directory of Presbyterial Church Government, that was one of the documents of the Westminster Divines. Let me read for you the first paragraph it's the last paragraph under the Directory for Ordination. Listen to this. In these present exigencies, while we cannot have any presbyteries formed up to their whole power and work, and that many ministers are to be ordained for the service of the armies and navy, and to many congregations where there is no minister at all, and where by reason of public troubles, the people cannot either themselves inquire and find out one who may be a faithful minister of them, or have any with safety sent unto them for such a solemn trial as was before mentioned in the ordinary rules, especially when there can be no presbytery near to them, to whom they may address themselves, or which may come or send to them a fit man to be ordained in that congregation and for that people. And yet, notwithstanding, it is requisite that ministers be ordained for them by some, who being set apart themselves for the work of the ministry, have power to join in the setting apart others who are found fit and worthy. In these cases, until, by God's blessing, the aforesaid difficulties may in some good measure be removed, let some godly ministers in or about the city of London be designed by public authority who, being associated, may ordain ministers for the city and vicinity, keeping as near to the ordinary rules forementioned as possible they may. And let this association be for no other intent or purpose, but only for the work of ordination. You hear that? You hear what wise counsel that is? The Westminster Divines came together. They said, here's the ordinary scripture requirement for ordination. Guess what? We're not in a day we can do that. So let's do this instead. Let's allow, because there is a great need for ministers in the Army and Navy to serve as chaplains. There's a great need for congregations that are coming to reformed conclusions, leaving the Roman Catholic Church, leaving the Anglican Church, and wanting a pure form of worship and godly preaching of the gospel, leaving the service book behind. And so then, they desire ministers. And that's a good desire. So let's let a few ministers come together who are designated by public authority, and let them come together and examine and train and ordain men to the ministry for these absences in office. And let them be for no other purpose than that. Let them not then form themselves into a presbytery where they have all of the power of a presbytery, but rather let them be for this exigency, that they make up that which is lacking for the ministry of the church. Now you see, that is staying as close as possible to the order and yet recognizing the impoverished estate under which the Lord has brought His church. That's exactly what we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. We have a wonderful setting in order of things, not according exactly as David commanded, because that was not possible. But they did have enough men that they could stick as closely to that proper order as they could. And so they put those 24 courses in place according to the command of David. And those courses, as we saw, they lasted all the way down to the New Testament, because John Baptist's father, Zechariah, was of the course of Abiah, the eighth course. So he came to Jerusalem twice in the year to burn incense for 1 week at a time, 6 months upon 6 months. All right? Okay, well, we have all of that then. I bet you didn't know we were going to find that in 1 Chronicles 24, did you? All right, well, let's stand and continue praising God.